A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Walker faced him again last night as well. This ball hit well to left field. Ball game over. Isaac Paredes starts the party for the Astros.
Isaac Paredes. Walking him off with a blast into the Crawford boxes. We can see you.
That's how the Astros walked off the Kansas City Royals last night. 2-1. A pitcher's duel. Gotta say, and sorry to all the baseball purists out there, a pitcher's duel in the month of May? Boo! Boo! Boring. It makes me tired. It makes me feel old because I get tired watching it. This is not to dump on America's pastime. The great sport of baseball. It's just a pitcher's duel without stakes sucks. A pitcher's duel with stakes, great. Playoff baseball. But regular season baseball, a pitcher's duel, or 1-1 going into the ninth inning, sorry, the suspense just ain't getting me. It's just not. But the Astros back in the win column, and they're back above 500. After another nice start by Framber Valdez, here's a piping hot Astros take to get you hot and bothered if you're hoping for World Series number 3 this year. I believe that between Framber Valdez, who won 8 innings last night, Hunter Brown, who might be the best pitcher in the American League right now, and Ronel Blanco, if he can keep this up, that's a pretty damn good 1-2-3 for the Astros in the playoffs. I'm a little skeptical that Ronel Blanco is going to be able to keep it up all year, and I don't know if I'm supposed to expect a Christian Javier return this year or a Luis Garcia return this year or Lance McCullers to find the fountain of youth. I don't know what I'm supposed to expect, but it seems Framber is back. He'll have his occasional, buddy, you okay? Outing probably in a week or so. But it seems he's back on the right track. Brown's been fantastic to open the year. If pitching wins championships, and if defense wins championships, the Astros have a good deal of it. Brendan Rodgers looking pretty good at second base. Not as a batter, but as a second baseman, oh, he's looking good. That said, there is something else that needs to happen for the Astros to get to where we all want them to get to. And guys, I'm sorry. I know the Astros are back above 500. And I know they just beat a playoff team last night. But I am concerned about their bats. Who's that? Is it a superhero? Who could it be?
Think your favorite team has it all figured out? Think again.
I thought what we had was special.
Sure, for now.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Never fear. A superhero is here to remind you why your team's actually
up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Panic Man.
Yes, it is I, Panic Man. There's too many guys in the lineup who suck. Christian Walker, boo. Jordan Alvarez, I know he's hurt. Boo. Cam Rogers. Hey, get picked off again. Boo. Brendan Rodgers, strike out again. Boo. Mauricio Dubon and Chaz McCormick. You guys are getting Wally pipped by rookies. Boo. What's the deal with the Astros with runners in scoring position? First inning, runner on second. One out. Christian Walker. Pfft. Yadier Diaz strikes out looking. Sixth inning, runner on second. No outs. Isaac Paredes, strikeout. Christian Walker, strikeout. Yadier Diaz lineup. Cam Smith, boo. How do you get picked off of first? Jake Myers caught stealing in the fourth inning. WTF, bro. And on top of that, Christian Walker missed a strikeout himself, 47 on the year, 30 have come with runners on base. Panic man, not thrilled with the Astros offense, away! So there you go. Look, the offense needs to wake up. I get that they got the two runs that they needed to, but I'd like a little more. Something interesting I saw about Isak Paredes last night. Something about Christian Walker that you'll find pretty interesting. Christian Walker actually has, even though it seems like he has 379 strikeouts, Christian Walker actually has as many strikeouts as Shohei Ohtani this year. If you want to spin zone it. If you want me to go Astros Minister of Truth, don't worry, Sean. I'm not asking for you to throw that one in there, too. No, Christian Walker has as many strikeouts as Shohei Ohtani. The problem is 30 of them have been with runners on base. 30. Oh, God. Groan. Not fun. Not cool. I'll say this at least. I really like the Isak Paredes signing. He's perfect for Daikin Park. The exact kind of walk-off home run you're looking for, right? Where you're like, eh, is this a home run in any other park? I don't know, Jim. It's been a nice signing. I wish that we would be saying the same thing about Christian Walker to this point. Walker's slash line, 213, 287. I thought we'd be getting more walks with him. And a 353 slugging percentage. You want to talk about the hard contact. You can't. His wins above replacement is zero. So I guess he hasn't been a net negative. But with Paredes, 265, a 383 OBP, slugging 422, an 805 OPS. Paredes has already been a success. Meanwhile, our guy, Jeremy Pena, friend of the Paul Gallant Show, the young rookie who back in 2022 was the reason the Astros won the World Series, I would argue, most desired Houston athlete amongst the ladies and perhaps folks who are allegedly like myself. Jeremy Pena, have my babies! You know, there's a lot of people out there who like old Jer Bear. Ever since Jeremy Pena has moved to the leadoff spot, which was on April 28th, he has played 14 games now. He is hitting .367. You want to get really, really excited? You want to get a little advanced statistics in there? Uh-huh. He's hitting .380 on his batting average on balls in play, which means that he's actually a little unlucky. Uh-huh. Slugging's .567. OPS .957. Three homers, 10 runs batted in. Uh-huh. All-star? Probably going to be hard to be an all-star for the American League, but all-star? If we get enough of the psychotic women who still want this man, even though he is happily taken by a soccer player, the women of Houston, Sean Mapes, they could get old Jeremy Pena in the All-Star game in a couple months after me.
I thought you were going to go with the location. I was like, if Paul knows where the All-Star game is right now.
I don't.
I have no idea.
I don't want to know where it is, just being honest here.
I normally learn in a couple months when – probably 2 weeks out. I think it's possible that Jeremy Pena can get people to stuff the ballot or get women to stuff the ballot box.
Yeah.
And then Jeremy
Pena.
They
want some other stuffing. Yeah. Which is other people to stuff the ballot if Jeremy Pena votes.
Yeah. He doesn't just want the women to stuff the ballot box.
Right. He is a taken man, women.
Yeah.
And men of Houston.
But if the women are only voting for Jeremy Pena, that could. Give him an edge against Bobby Witt Jr., who's in town right now.
Oh, yeah. Listen, if there's a beefcake all-star team, I mean, Jeremy Pena's making it.
Yeah.
From what I've been told.
From what
I gather, exactly, Sean. So there you go. Cebu asks on YouTube, what happened to torpedo bats? Yeah, turns out that did not help.
Turns out.
I think Mauricio Dubon's the one who's using it, and I mean, we're barely seeing him these days.
Yeah.
So listen, it's not like they're bad offensively. It's just they have a lot of bats that should be better, and if you just take a look at the lineup, I need more out of Yainer Diaz. Like Jake Meyers, over that same stretch since April 28th, when Jeremy Pena moved to the leadoff spot, he's hitting .400. So, I mean, Meyers is at least carrying his weight. It's the other guys, Altuve. It's a lack of Yordan. It's everyone else who's not doing their job. It's
Walker.
Right, Christian Walker. It's Jeremy Pena. It's Jake Myers. And it's Isak Paredes at home. We need a little more. They're capable of more. When are they going to show up? Their top three starters and their bullpen. They're really good. 21-20. AL West, certainly looking a little more imposing than in years past. Mariners have actually been, you know, taking it to the Yankees. That's been noteworthy. So, bats. Is there another version of a torpedo bat?
Oh, okay. What would it be?
How about cruise missile bat?
There we go.
ICBM bat? Intercontinental ballistic missile for those not following? I mean, because a torpedo, that's
like
early 1900s
technology. Yeah, I was going to say, that's like World War One.
Right, I think. I don't know when torpedoes were invented. I'll be honest. My war history, Sean, thank you for looking that up. My war history is a little limited, but okay. Yeah, we're doing torpedo bats. We could definitely do at least rocket bats, which would be followed by missile bats, which would be followed by cruise missile bats, which would be followed by ICBM bats.
1866.
1860. Holy crap. We had torpedoes in 1866?
Yeah. English engineer Robert Whitehead.
What?
Made the first successful torpedo in that year.
My mind is blown. I did not know we had that kind of technology.
Yeah.
The English. That's all they cared about was the Navy.
Yeah, I was going to say all of it. All the links have Navy in the name.
Okay.
Have different versions of the Navy in the
Well, I would hope that the Navy would be inventing the torpedoes. So there you go, guys. Astros back in the win column. They're back above 500. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Up next, baseball did something yesterday that is curious and annoying to me. Maybe not in the eyes of some who were sick of a topic that's actually worse than Mount Rushmore that I had to write a paper about. That's dead. But they should go further. Let's talk about the wrong priorities in sports. Next, it's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Yesterday, Major League Baseball decided to unban two of baseball's most iconic names from the Baseball Hall of Fame. In a historic, sweeping decision, this is baseball's press release, Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred on Tuesday removed Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson, among other deceased players, from Major League Baseball's permanently ineligible list. Actually curious as to who's on that permanently ineligible list. Manfred wrote a letter to an attorney who had petitioned for Rose's removal, saying this, quote, "Obviously, a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game," end quote. What? Dead people can't threaten the integrity of the game? Huh, interesting. Continued Manfred in this letter, quote, "Moreover, it is hard to conceive of a penalty that has more deterrent effect than one that lasts a lifetime with no reprieve," end quote. Wow. Basically saying, yeah, while they were living, knowing they couldn't get into the Hall of Fame while they're alive, that's the worst punishment of all. Damn, Rob, that's a little dark.
Yeah, it's like, it's only about sending a message to them while they're alive.
Right, Sean.
When they're dead, no use
Once
for it.
Once they're dead, who cares? They're gone.
Put them in, who cares?
Doesn't matter. So, Manfred's decision will allow Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and others to be considered by the Historical Overview Committee, which will develop a ballot of 8 names for the Classic Baseball Era Committee. How many effing committees are there? What is this, Congress? So there's a Historical Overview Committee, the Classic Baseball Era Committee. We'll get back to that in a moment. How many committees are there to vote on when it meets next in December of 2027? Wait, you can't vote now? How about December of 2026? How about December of 2025?
They need all the information for all these dead guys that they're going to be voting on.
The dead guys who are already dead who haven't played?
Yeah, something might change.
There's more red tape than in actual government here. Baseball, come on, man. This is a sport that shouldn't be so behind the times that it takes you 2 years to vote dead people in.
It's like when the stories we hear when like Texas legislator, like, oh, they don't meet back again until like next March.
Because they're in recess or something
that. Wait, what?
There's a Baseball Hall of Fame shutdown. Are you kidding me? You have entire off seasons. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, there's going to be a lockout between now and then.
Right. I mean, more dead baseball players that are ineligible, or hang on, more ineligible baseball players could die and then become eligible. You know, because there's some guys who are shadow banned, clearly. So what if they die? I mean, that might make Pete Rose, who's dead, and Shoeless Joe Jackson, also dead, have to wait longer. You know? By the way, Pete Rose sucked. I know that.
Oh, he was the hit king. What are you talking about?
No, not like that. I mean,
the guy.
First off, he could have gotten in while alive, but he was stubborn because he refused to be completely honest about the gambling. Bud Selig had actually offered him a chance to get in. All he had to do was admit he bet on baseball. And then he also had to stop gambling and making casino appearances. He's a degenerate. Couldn't do that.
Yeah, I think it's the second part that really.
I actually agree. This guy was an absolute shill at the end. You know, he wrote a book, My Prison Without Bars, in 2004. He said he had gambled on baseball as the Reds manager, but insisted he only bet on the team to win. In 2015. ESPN reported a notebook seized from Rose showed he wagered on baseball while still a player. But that's not the thing that happens. I mean, in 2017, a woman accused Rose of statutory rape when she was 14 or 15 and he was in his 30s. Rose said he thought she was 16, which was the age of consent in Ohio at the time. Jesus. Anyway, this was right before he was about to be inducted into the Phillies Wall of Fame. Not to be confused with the Phillies Hall of Fame. I don't know. Anyway, so Pete Rose, bit of a scumbag. Joe Jackson, apparently just an idiot, by all accounts. I am just recounting the accounts. Joe Jackson was a simpleton. Perhaps that's why his name was Shoeless. Did he forget to come to the park with his shoes one time? I don't know. Baseball writing back in the day, I mean, you question liberal media these days. Baseball back in the day, a lot of dubious stuff. The guy who wrote about Ty Cobb, whatever his name was, I forget off the top of my head, and honestly, I don't even want to give the guy publicity. The guy seemed like a sensationalist, and perhaps some of the tall tales about Ty Cobb, I don't know, killing a guy may have been stretched by said writer.
Yeah, reading a lot of the old baseball writing, like from the early 20th century, it is like reading mythology.
Yeah.
Like they are just doing mythology in real time because no one can actually watch these guys play. So they can just write whatever about these guys.
Exactly. And an example of this involves, Sean, Shoeless Joe Jackson. So when Shoeless Joe Jackson was implicated under grand jury investigation for the 1919 Black Sox, who threw a then 9-game World Series against the, I think, Cincinnati Redlegs, perhaps Reds at the time, there was a writer by the name of Charlie Owens of the Chicago Daily News who wrote a tribute titled, quote, Say it ain't so, Joe, end quote. The say it ain't so, this is really where say it ain't so became a big deal. The phrase became legendary when another reporter erroneously said this report in his story about Shoeless Joe Jackson leaving court after being indicted by a grand jury. When Jackson left the criminal building in the custody of a sheriff after telling his story to the grand jury,
He found several hundred youngsters aged from 6 to 16 waiting for a glimpse of their idol. One child stepped up to the outfielder and, grabbing his coat sleeve, said,
"It ain't true. Is it, Joe?"
"Yes, kid, I'm afraid it is," Jackson replied. The boys opened a path for the ball player and stood in silence until he passed out of sight.
Well, I never thought it,
end quote, sighed the lad. And basically, 3 decades later, Jackson said, "Yeah, that never happened." But this is part of baseball lore. Shoeless Joe Jackson telling a sad child outside of a courtroom that, yes, it is so, when asked,
"Say it ain't so, Joe."
So, goes back to early 20th century baseball reporting. All of it BS. Hell, all the statistics might be BS. Which brings me to the point. The misplaced priorities of baseball here. Okay, dead guy Pete Rose, in. Dead guy Shoeless Joe Jackson, in. Maybe. I don't know. I don't care. Can we put the alive people in? I don't care that they did steroids. No one cares that they did steroids. No one cares that Roger Clemens did steroids, allegedly. No one cares that Barry Bonds did HGH or steroids or was involved with Balco, allegedly. No one cares that A-Rod, who may have fessed up to it, did all of those things. Those are three of the greatest baseball players any of us have ever seen. On top of that, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Manny Ramirez, the list goes on and on. I don't care. I don't care. Because you know what? You put that stuff in your body, there were some consequences. Remember this wrestling fan who was at a wrestling convention and he had this all-time line? It's one of my favorite moments of fan interaction with an athlete. This is awesome.
"I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it."
So, it's still real to me. I don't care that they did the steroids. Can we prioritize the alive people? No one cares that people did steroids in the 90s. People liked baseball back then. No one cares about that. So can we change our priorities for the people that we remember having played and prioritize them over the dead people? I'm not trying to disrespect the dead people. They're dead. Are they going to haunt Rob Manfred in his home? Is Pete Rose going to say, "Ooh, Rob, you don't let me in. I'm going to haunt you till the rest of time. Every time you take a dump, I'm going to be here, Rob. Ooh." You know? Yeah. No, I don't believe in ghosts, Sean. I don't.
Shoeless Joe Jackson already, his ghost already possessed a cornfield back in the day.
Field of Dreams, not real.
I completely agree. I also think that there is an argument to be had that throwing a World Series is actually worse than doing steroids.
Yeah.
Like, that is actually more...
Way worse!
That is more out of line with the, like, competitive integrity of a league when you have a team cheating to lose as opposed to cheating to win.
And listen, you want to go further? Shoeless Joe Jackson played well in those 1919 World Series, so yeah, everyone thinks that he might have
been unaware or been putting on a show.
But here's what I think. I think that he didn't honor a signed agreement that he had with the Chicago Mafia. Disgusting. He was told to throw the World Series. He was paid to throw the World Series, and he didn't. So that's that man has no integrity.
That's why he should be out of the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
For going back on your word against the Chicago mob.
Morality clause violated. We're being sarcastic here, of course.
Didn't keep a promise to Al Capone.
Yeah. Also, he survived, so credit to him.
Yeah, that's where the theory, I think, kind of falls apart.
I think Al Capone must have been pretty pissed at Shoeless Joe Jackson or whoever the hell was behind it. I forget, Myers Lenski or something. I forget. Anyway, misplaced priorities. Also, misplaced priorities. Why the hell is Adam Silver still talking about the NBA All-Star Game? This is what he had to say when asked about potential changes to it. Can we stop with this? No one cares.
I've talked before about the fact we're looking at potentially U.S. against the world type formats. NHL had great success with the Four Nation Faceoff this past season. We're going to be in the midst of the Winter Olympics on NBC, so the programming going into the All-Star Game will be Olympic competition, will be, and our game will be leading in back into the Olympics. So I think it's only fitting. And on top of that, we'll be in LA, where of course the 28 Summer Olympics are going to be. So that's maybe more short-term, not so much a rule change, but something we talked about at the GM's meeting and we want to get right.
Stop. Stop, Adam. It's not going to work. This international thing for the All-Star game is not going to save it like it does for hockey. We are not the best country in the world at hockey. Thus, it is more entertaining to watch the United States play teams like Canada that are better than them. Or if Russia was allowed in, but they're not because of the war thing, that would be fun. You don't have that in the NBA. It would still be Team USA against everybody. The only way you could potentially change it is if you localize it, if you regionalize it. If we're talking about New England versus, which, by the way, no basketball players from there. If we're talking about specific regions of the country, regions of the country, yeah. And also specific countries. But there's not enough good players from these other countries to be a threat, you know? Like, maybe Spain. That's it, as far as international basketball goes. Could field a team that actually would challenge the United States. But unless we're regionalizing it, this is dumb.
Yeah, L.A. versus Chicago, winner plays the Balkan super team.
That actually would be kind of cool.
There we go.
And if we do that, maybe, but it's not going to work internationally.
No.
It's just not. No one's going to care as much about it unless it's regionally done. And even then, regionally done, I'm not sure how many people would care about it.
Yes, unless that you are actually, like, this is Team USA. There's a little bit of, like, you have to brand it as, like, this is Team USA that we're building.
Yeah,
for the American team. But even still, if we're going against the world, you know, like, just put yourself in the shoes of Jokic or let's just say Jokic, because he's the famous I don't try in the All-Star game guy, at least for me. Luka, number two. There is different for putting on a jersey that actually says Serbia or Slovenia on it than one that just says world.
Yeah.
Like, there is just a difference of you're not representing your country, so why would the world actually compete?
Right. It's dumb. You know, I suppose maybe...
hatred of the U.S. Just, like, absolute... Watching the Court of Gold, the Olympic documentary, basically all the non-USA teams are like, God, we would do anything to beat these guys.
Right. And if you were able to field a team, cool, but... It's the NBA All-Star game. Do you want the best players in?
Yeah.
It's not going to work, you know?
Guys are still going to have a vacation the next day.
Exactly.
So they're not going to be trying as hard.
So I don't know. I mean, the Ryder Cup works, right? Where that's USA.
Yeah, pretty. I think it's a successful
versus
tournament.
Europe, but I don't think you can create that. I don't think you can recreate that. I don't think there's enough anti-American feelings amongst American basketball players, people who are playing in American Basketball League, because they're like, oh, yeah, this is way better. I get paid a ton of money. I just think they probably all enjoy the United States of America. They probably miss their homes to a degree. It would be pretty cool, I think. I'm jealous of Spanish basketball players. I think that would be sick. I would love to play basketball in Spain.
Yeah, being the guy who's not NBA good but was, you know, like a all Big Ten guy at Wisconsin, where it's like, oh, my basketball future is to get paid not as much in the NBA – but get paid still a lot to play all over Europe. That's actually not a bad career path.
And a specific example of this, Sergio Yule, who the Rockets had the rights to like 10 years.
I think he's coming over next year.
You're right. I mean, he was like, I'm just staying in Spain. I like Spain.
It's like, that. No thanks.
And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Who has been soft in the world of sports? Soft Boys next. Stick around and put your nominees in at 713-780-3776 to call the text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Akalon says on Twitter at Shawnee Mapes behind the glass.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Soft boys in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time that Ime Udoka called LeBron James a soft-ass boy in the midst of a Rockets-Lakers game, we honor those who have been soft in the world of sports by calling them soft boys Wednesdays at 12:30. Make sure you have your nominees close to the chest. You can do it on the text line, 713-780-3776 to call to text. From the 936... Jason Tatum, sir, his Achilles snapped, you son of a bitch. How dare you? That's Eric the Driver. He also nominated Steph Curry, Draymond. Oh, I think he hates the Warriors. LeBron, Derek Carr, Shador Sanders, Tank Dell. Tank Dell, his knee exploded. You're being a jerk. LaMarcus. I always see, whenever I see LMJ for Lance McCullers Jr., I think LaMarcus. Lance McCullers Jr., no, I will not elaborate on any. All right. Well, listen, if you want to nominate him, like Eric the Driver just did.
I was waiting for it. After Tatum, I was like, oh, man, he's got something for McCullers.
Right.
I know McCullers is the catcher one.
Virginia Budweed says Tatum is made of glass. What the hell? I was listening to Pardon My Take this morning, and Max, who's the Philly stooge, he is entertaining, was acting like Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum are in the same class. One's a champion. The other has played three games in the last 17 years. I'm exaggerating a little bit. Anyway, I'm getting mad. Don't come after my boy Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
And the Celtics, by the way, 9-2 without Jason Tatum this year. Huh. Series over? Series far from
comeback loading.
Am I soft for not betting $100 with a buddy of mine who said, and then he lowered it to $50, I am unwilling to put money on the Celtics coming back from down 3-1, but I do believe it'll happen. Am I soft for not putting money where my mouth is?
I think, yeah, a little soft.
You think I'm a little soft?
Yeah.
We'll leave this up for debate. Perhaps I will put the 50 on the table. But I do think they're going to win the series. I strongly do. I just have to do it at some point tonight. Anyway, who's been soft in the world of sports? Is Yankees broadcaster Dave Sims soft? Now, I'm going to admit, I'm a little biased here. I like Dave Sims. When I was in Seattle, he was very kind to me. He is a New York guy. He used to be the Mariners broadcaster. After John Sterling retired, and I miss John Sterling, who is not soft. John Sterling took a foul ball to the face, which we might need to play the audio of, Sean, at some point if you can find it. But Dave Sims is taking some time off early on in his first year as Yankees broadcaster. And he got called out on WFAN, a New York sports talk radio station, by none other than Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, Mother's Day weekend. Maybe he wanted to see family.
He's from New York.
Oh.
He's got some family out there.
But he was in Seattle for, what, 15 years?
Yeah, all right, so...
So maybe their kids live out there and they wanted to see...
Did you sign a deal to do the Yankees?
I don't know.
I mean, John Sterling didn't miss any games, did he?
He did not miss many games,
At the end, he missed a couple.
Well, if he did, because he was sick or something.
Right.
Or because, you know, he's in his 80s and he didn't want to travel to certain games because of COVID.
He did 2,000 straight games, something like that?
He did. Yeah, but once in a while, you just take a week off?
No, it wasn't a week. It was a weekend.
I'm sorry. I love Dave Sims, but, unless there's something major going on that I don't know about... Then I'll gladly retract the criticism.
Otherwise, get your ass in the booth.
Yeah, what are you doing? You just took the Yankee job. It's supposed to be the job of your life.
I'm with Boomer here. Here's the weird thing about the Mariners. So the Mariners, despite being one of the worst baseball teams in the history of baseball, they have a ton of radio broadcasters and TV broadcasters. Like, they all have backups. I've never seen a play-by-play team that has as many backups as they do. And I wonder what they get paid. It used to tick me off. Because I was always like, hey, shouldn't you be doing every single game? Because there's Rick Riz, who we played audio of, also getting hit by a ball. Maybe we're going to go back to playing announcers getting hit by balls. There's Aaron Goldsmith. There was Dave Sims. And there's others. Like, they got a ton. They have a crew of play-by-play guys for the Seattle Mariners. And I think Dave Sims goes to the Yankees and he thinks, oh, yeah, I could take some time off. No, if you're a baseball broadcaster, whether it's on the radio or on TV, I'm sorry, you should be there for all 162 games. You have a full offseason. You have months off. Months. You're like a teacher. You should have to work every single day. I get it. Family, blah, blah, blah. Nope. If you want to be a baseball broadcaster, you're on the road for all 162 games and then the playoffs too. Yeah. No time off. You get an all-star break. The players get an all-star break. If you're built different and you're getting paid to broadcast 162 baseball games, the only exception I will make is if you are also so good that you do national broadcasts for baseball's playoffs or you do NFL broadcasts or college football broadcasts. That is the only exception that I will make. Otherwise, you're there for all 162, bubbo. And in the case of Dave Sims, who I do like, yeah, I agree. It's your first year, and it's not even mid-May. It taking days off? Come on.
Yeah. And this is the guy they are replacing. This is an 84-year-old that you're replacing right here.
Yeah.
And Holmes at the belt. And now the 3-2 swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
Not soft. John kept going.
So once again, it'll be a 3.
He kept on going. Anyway, if you can find the Rick Riz audio at some point, Sean, that would be awesome. Let's keep on going through soft boys. I like Charles Barkley a lot. But Charles Barkley said on Inside the NBA that the NBA is treating the Nuggets unfair because they don't have enough time between games. Charles, come on. You dump on the guy in the regular season for taking days off. It's the playoffs. Like, I get it. It's a day and a half. Playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really the Friday night to Sunday afternoon turnaround.
Yes.
That's like the tough one, but yeah, I mean, again, it was a close game. You know, the Sunday game was a close game, came down to the wire. So did the Friday game. Like, this is just a close series. Like,
yeah,
these games are close. Last night's game was close. They're gonna be close games. Jokic is gonna look exhausted the entire time because that's just what he looks like. Sometimes he'll play exhausted like he did last night, but yeah, I mean, that they need the second round needs to be every other night. If you want to talk to me about the finals, you get a travel day. The conference finals, you get at least one travel day early in the series. I'm good with that. We gotta get through the second round.
I agree with you there. Yeah,
you just get the playoffs just can't go on forever.
Right. I like having two games a night. This round's perfect for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Big game for the Celtics tonight. Get it done. I believe. More soft boys. This guy. Not soft. Nottingham Forest owner Evangelos Marinakis. He went viral for after a game that Nottingham Forest lost to Leicester. Check that. They were level with him at the end of regulation, which means it was a tie. So they drew with Leicester. After the game, since they're now in Champions League qualification jeopardy, Marinakis, the owner, just got in his manager's face. Started yelling at him. Normally, you'd see an apology after something like this, right? Nope. Nottingham Forest Football Club put out a statement on social media. It is 7 paragraphs long. In this 7-paragraph statement, the best part, to Evangelos Marinakis, this isn't just a football club. It's family. And he instills that message in all of us. That is why he was so universal, why he was so personally and emotionally invested in the situation that unfolded at the City Ground on Sunday. His reaction was one of deep care, responsibility, and emotional investment in one of our own. So he yells at his kids. That's what he's telling us. But the guy's not soft. He holds Nottingham Forest Football Club, which I had never heard of. I guess they're in the Premier League. And apparently they're in the Champions League running. He holds them to a high standard. Shout out to him. Not soft.
No, I love this.
Respect. I love this. Tip of the hat. Haven't we always wanted to see the owner yelling at the coach when the coach is not doing a good job? Yeah. We all want to yell at the coach.
This is Billy Martin and George Steinbrenner. That's what this is. Just at Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. I like this.
That'd be great if Jim Crane just like went down and just yelled at someone.
Ooh. Yells at Joe Espada?
Yeah. Puts his finger in his chest.
I think now, because of how badly the Jeff Bagwell GM era went, that he is trying to act as hands-off
distance,
as possible.
Distance, yeah.
Also not soft, Brian Cushing, who was on a podcast, and apparently he has had 20-plus surgeries.
I gave everything I had. Like, I'm lucky to be walking, basically. And that's something no one can ever take away from me.
Yeah, that's dope.
You know, like, dude, 27 surgeries? Like, I mean, like 4 or 5 every year. Some that's maybe more, some maybe less.
Bananas.
It was just a result of the way I played and practiced. Like, practice was really important to me. Like, I would knock myself out at practice.
I saw it. Witness.
Because I didn't want some head to think he was better than me.
Yeah.
Some, you know, fullback they were hyping up on the scout team, like, hey, go him up, right? I was never, ever okay with someone getting the better of me.
I love hearing Cushing talk like this, because whenever Cushing spoke, it did not reflect the player that we saw on the field that would headbutt a guy wearing a helmet without his helmet on and bleed all over the place. Cushing was a crazy person on the field. He is one of the best Texans ever. And much like with Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, amongst others, what he did on the football field, it's still real to me, damn it. It's still real to me.
He battled overtrained athlete syndrome.
Right. That's tough. Not soft.
Yeah. This is the least surprising thing ever, having watched Brian Cushing. And didn't they have, was he on the Hard Knocks team?
Yes, he was on Hard Knocks. Virginia Budweed asks, who did he bully on Hard Knocks again?
Alfred Blue,
Alfred
right?
Alfred Blue, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. He was just, and it's literally like the end of that clip where he's like, they would bring in some hotshot guy, and my job in practice was to F him up. And that's what he did in that clip.
Brian Cushing is now number one on the list of former Houston athletes that I would like to interview, because I did not know that he had that in his bag. I am curious as to what he's doing now. Is he still?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, wasn't he like an assistant strength coach or something?
He was their assistant strength and conditioning coach 2019-2020 per Wikipedia.
Okay.
So it does not seem like he's working now. Seriously, I would love to have Brian Cushing on. Like really, really badly. I might have to hook that up through my Pilates Illuminati sources. Because apparently his wife is also like I think she's a Pilates instructor. So
okay.
We'll check. We'll check that out. But I feel like they're both like hardwired, and I like that. Not soft boy, Brian Cushing. Not.
No, never.
Never has been. I miss Brian Cushing. He was fun. Honestly, I wonder where the 2012 Texans would have gone had Brian Cushing not gotten a torn ACL against the Green Bay Packers in week, was it six? It was a Sunday night football game. Felt like the wind went out of the sails for the rest of that game. Packers ended up running away with it. But I feel like Brian Cushing would have been a good player to have if you're playing against a team that has Aaron Hernandez and fast tight ends. He was fast enough to be competent in coverage. Anyway, that's Sean Behind the Glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stay there.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios? Here's Paul Gallant.
Gotta say, baklava slaps. One of the best snacky snacks that there is. There's a bunch of it in the break room right now, and I am tempted to throw it back to commercial break to get more baklava. I got to figure out who brought that in earlier. Holy smokes. Fantastic. Really, really good. When I was working at a Greek restaurant as a summer job while I was in college in St. Petersburg, Florida, called Louis Papa's, I could not control myself around that stuff. So I would tell everybody that I worked with, please, please, please keep the baklava away from me. And it always sucked when you had to, as someone ordered it, because I was the cashier / waiter. So I got tips, but I also got paid hourly, which was awesome. But it always sucked having to get the baklava out because I was so damn tempted. Cannot control myself around sweets. Anyway, guys, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975, 713-780-3776 to call to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Astros got back in the win column last night. We'll see if they're able to win their series against the Kansas City Royals. Rubber game. I believe it starts. Is this actually a night game for a change?
Yeah, I think this is 7 o'clock.
Wow. They're actually having a 7:10 first pitch on a Wednesday. Seems like it's been a while.
Well, they also are playing on a Thursday.
That's also true. You're right.
They go to Dallas.
No day off. 4-game series against the Arlington Rangers. Okay. We might have to go back and find some old tab phone calls. But Colton Gordon on the hill against Michael Lorenzen.
So that's the latest on the Stros. The NFL schedule release is also tonight at 7. You're going to be tuned into that?
I mean, it's going to be the lowest rated Astros game of the season.
Right.
How are you supposed to go to head-to-head?
I'm not even going to watch the beginning of the Celtics game. You know, favorite team, facing elimination, NFL schedule release.
Yeah. I have to see if all the Texans aggregators are right about the piecemeal schedule that they put a breaking news graphic under.
I can't stop. Like, while, you know, when I go back into the break room to get more baklava, I'm going to be looking at my phone the entire time I walk there and the entire time I walk back, because I want to know when the Texans are playing teams that we already knew they're playing.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for that.
And get some times, too.
Oh, I get to plan my fall, which is I don't get to do anything in the fall. But I get to plan. I get to know for sure that I can't do anything that I want to do in the fall. It's great because I'm that married to the game, that married to football. Here's all I'm hoping for. Can we have a bye week that's not the week before Christmas or whatever the hell it was?
Oh, yeah.
Can we get the bye week a little bit earlier?
That's always my only request is week 9, week 8 bye week, somewhere just in the middle of the season.
Yes.
I don't want the week 5, week 6 bye week, that sucks.
I want more Thursday games too. I want to play, honestly, every game on a Thursday. That would be awesome. What? Who says no? You have a week in between each game.
Amazon Prime says no.
What?
They're like,
what?
Hey, we saw you on Thursday against the Jets. We're not doing that again.
I just want my weekends. Yeah. So I have
open
time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
He said in quotation marks.
Yeah, I am interested in just like the number of primetime games. Hopefully they're more spread out than they were last year.
I'm going to guess.
Looking back, I really hated the 3 weeks straight of primetime games. That sucked.
Yes, especially because it went poorly. Remember that how too. That went?
That too. It was what? Thursday night against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday night against the
Lions. Oh, God. That one's honestly, of all the losses.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst one.
That was easily the worst one.
And then they beat the Cowboys on Monday night.
Right, which didn't
matter. No Dak Prescott. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, and also it took forever for the Texans to win. And I remember getting in arguments with people online after the game who were impressed by it. Like, yeah, they finally pulled away. I was like, what? What the hell did you watch? No, they didn't.
People said they couldn't score a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Guess what they did?
They scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
They did exactly
that. But
I
think it was defensively first, and then it was on offense.
Yeah, no, I think that I think I could use a little bit of noon is good. Noon on Sunday, or Paul, for your sake. I mean, they are going to get one Thursday. They're going to get one.
It'd probably be against like the Titans or the Jaguars.
Oh, bring back Color Rush.
Yeah,
that's what they need to do. Bring back Color Rush. That was so awesome.
Sean makes by the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call into Texan on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. On the table to open today's show: one, are the Astros bats ever going to wake up? Two, why are we prioritizing dead Pete Rose and dead Shoeless Joe Jackson getting into the Hall of Fame over guys that we remember actually watching not being in the Hall of Fame? And if you want to talk about the details that we've seen for the release of the Houston Texans schedule, you can. I mean, whatever. I'm glad I no longer work at the flagship. I'll share a story about that a little bit later. Here's a question. What is the most soulless venue in American sports? We're going to get real interactive here because everyone is dumping on this venue for a very important sporting event taking place over the next couple of days. Stick around for that. The Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN. 97.5.